you guys. It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 540s, I believe. And I am still here in my childhood bedroom, painted deep, deep blood red, the most soothing of tones, of colors. And so I just told my family, I need to excuse myself very quickly to do some important podcast business, which was to watch the new Housewives of New Jersey. So I just have a couple quick thoughts because I felt like I needed to triage style, kind of talk this through and then attend to some other matters with a longer deep dive coming at the end of the week. And so the news about the reunion being canceled came out after I had recorded a deep dive of the episode that had aired prior. So this is the first episode I watched following that announcement. And I have to tell you, to be perfectly honest, it was a little weird. I assume I would feel the same way had that news not come out, which is like, oh, wow, you know, there are really factions in this cast. I don't know if the reunion announcement, the announcement that the reunion is not happening, I don't know if that has magnified this, but it just kind of made me feel a little sad while I was watching the episode because it's just, it feels just a little bit clunky. There are obviously things that work. I think that work, or at least scenes or moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Melissa and Danielle and Rachel and their sons. Like, I love seeing that moment. I love seeing Dolo and Frank with their kids. New Jersey to me is all about family. The irony is that so many of the seasons have focused on really, really intense family fractures, you know, whether it's, you know, Dina and Caroline and Jacqueline over a period of time, or obviously what's been going on with Teresa, Joe, and Melissa. Then there was that weird twin stuff of, did my husband fuck his mother-in-law? Like, there was just a lot happening season six. So it was nice to have those moments in this episode, but I also just kind of felt like it's this weird, not quite symphony, but it's almost like a little bit of an orchestra in which some people should be playing, but have like chosen to lower their violins. And that's kind of how I felt with that scene that ended the episode. Rachel had a great performance, so I'm not going to take that away from her in any way. I at least thought it was, you know, funny. But it was just kind of wild. You know, Marge isn't even there. But just seeing the awkwardness that seemed to exist between, obviously, Teresa and Melissa, who are not acknowledging each other, or at least I don't think Teresa was acknowledging Melissa. Melissa definitely had some, like, you know, Jim and Pam-esque quasi looks to the camera of like, I'm going to be communicating how weird I think some of these responses are. That certainly happened. But it also just felt like maybe some of these people are trying to make it work, but everyone's a little bit confused. Like, what's the point of what we're supposed to be doing here right now? What was everyone told before the season started? Of like, okay, here is the guideline and parameters around how filming works when you have Teresa and Melissa, or Teresa and Marge and Melissa potentially in the same room. Is that some kind of like production communication of, you can interact with this person, but maybe don't direct them toward someone else? Or is there maybe a hope from production that that will actually happen, knowing that Teresa and Melissa specifically do not want to directly communicate to each other? What's the impact on the cast and on production following the choice to continue with the show with every single person remaining on it? I guess that's what I kind of wonder. Like, what was the best case scenario at the start of this season, knowing that so many people in this cast are on entirely separate islands? Was the hope that they would let their anger or maybe rage get the best of them and kind of interact? Because from what we're hearing, Andy talking about this on Radio Andy, you know, he said something along the lines of like, oh my God, the finale is so incredible. It gives reunion energy. It's essentially a combination between a finale and a reunion. You won't have missed the reunion once you watch the final episode. And that might entirely ring true. Like, we might watch the finale and feel like we were fed, or we might watch the finale and see how terribly sad the show has maybe become if people cannot at minimum interact. So I don't know, maybe we'll have the awareness or the understanding that of course a reunion couldn't work once we see the finale, but I don't know why that's kind of our responsibility to be like, yeah, that makes sense, versus productions to try to make this show work so that there are certain, you know, tenets of business, like we hold a reunion at the end of the season, and that's not the case here. So there was like a little bit of a feeling that I had while watching, because I do have to say I got into this on the last AG of like letting the air out of the balloon a little bit. It did to me feel like the air was being let out just a little bit out of the balloon. It wasn't a bad episode. I don't want this to sound like I hated it. I'm just saying, you know, some of the tension here, because we just know too much. We know that Jackie is heavily aligned with Teresa and Jen. We know that, you know, Rachel and Melissa seem closer than ever. We know that Marge does not ever want to communicate with Teresa, but also seemingly Jackie ever again. I think in one interview, I might have gotten this wrong, but I think one interview she might have called her the Antichrist. Did I pull that out of my ass? I mean, I very well might have. It's not great to have all of the energy that is surrounding this season be themed with everyone's a mess in the worst possible way. There's just so much seething anger that doesn't produce great chemistry if not everybody's, you know, attending science class. You know what I'm saying? So there were still positive moments. I mean, there was genuinely a yearning that I felt when I was watching those almost vignettes, to be honest, of the scene with the go-karts and the scene with Dolo and Frank and their families, because that used to be what New Jersey was all about. It was about conflict, but it was about having a window into something that included happiness and light, and seeing from Dolo and Frank's perspective how far they've come from, you know, the seeming craziness toward the end of their marriage many, many years ago, to the fact that they're now going out to dinners with their requisite partners and their kids, and they've created this incredible family unit. I think that they should be applauded and praised for it. To see Melissa and Rachel and Danielle with their sons of different ages coming together and having fun. Like, how cute it was, I thought, that Danielle's young son, younger than the other two kids, is like so excited to be with these older guys who I'm sure he looks up to, and the way that they seem so sweet with him. I wish for more of those moments, and I guess it's just impossible. There's just too much air in the room to allow for other stuff, which is so unfortunate. It feels like maybe there's been a lost sense of direction of what makes these shows great. And Andy is in a cover story for New York Magazine that's out, that was out today. And Bethany, by the way, has spoken about sparely and not necessarily in the nicest way. So I laughed quite a bit. And it's sort of an interesting piece. The tone is a little bit different than I expected, which I liked, because I didn't exactly know the direction that it was going in over the course of the interview. It certainly wasn't to me a puff piece in any way, which is why I personally like reading New York Magazine, because I think a lot of their features are really genuinely fantastic. But Andy talked about, you know, why he feels it's unfair for people to say that Real Housewives, you know, works against women. He talks about the fact that Gloria Steinem is wrong when she says it's not a feminist show, and that it sort of brings out the worst in women, and the idea of Housewives is not just about conflict. And in my head, I'm like, you know, doing dot, 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 and conflict resolution, which is often how I think of Housewives. But he's saying these are also women expressing real vulnerability and showing us their families and their lives and doing things, he says, that like he doesn't think he would be comfortable doing, like opening such a window into their lives. And maybe it's because I started the day reading that piece and I'm ending it right now in my family home back in Rhode Island, watching the newest episode of New Jersey. But I just kind of thought to myself, and maybe I'm just thinking out loud, welcome to Andy's Girls. I hope that what we see in New Jersey, but I don't have super high expectations on this, but I hope that what we see is a little bit more of that vulnerability. I feel like it's getting lost in this storm of rage that the show right now, and I really don't even mean this as like a, oh my God, like strong critique. I'm just trying to communicate that there's so much about Housewives that I connect with. And while obviously the trailers are focused on moments of great conflict, and while we want to see the drama, capital D, I want to see the other stuff. I want to see these women living their lives. I want to see some element, obviously, of like elevated escapism, like walk into every scene, go grocery shopping with the Chanel bag. Apologies again to Bethany Frankel. Trigger warning, by the way, to anyone that doesn't have an appointment. But I just feel like we're missing that on New Jersey. We're missing seemingly the reality of these women's lives because they're lost in the storm that is filming this show and not being able to let go. Maybe of the frustration they're being forced to film with people they don't like, maybe with the frustration that their enemy hasn't been fired, trying to figure out how to win the game, which is how a lot of people think about, you know, filming with their nemesis potentially. How do I come out ahead, either in conflicts with the cast or from the greater audience by the time this episode airs, or LOL in the meantime on social? It's become so much about this almost, it's not chess. I would put it in the, you know, in the form of checkers, the people's chess. It feels so lacking in a way that makes me a little sad, because to me, New Jersey was always about warmth. Obviously, the temperature could get very hot, but it also felt grounded because of that focus on family, because there was something that just felt so real and escapist in how some of these family structures were, where the kids just seem so connected to their parents. That can be a form of escapism. When we talk about escapism, we can talk about seeming financial success, the picture perfect kind of life. But for some of us, the idea of a picture perfect escapist life is seeing these kids bonding with their parents. Not everybody has that availability. And I miss it a little bit on New Jersey. I feel like we're missing that because what we're focusing on is all of this other stuff. Why Marge hates Teresa? Why Teresa hates Marge? It's hard to get into that because then it becomes this conversation even amongst the Bravo community of like, well, who did more wrong? And it's so unfortunate because I just kind of miss NJ. And again, I think we saw glimpses of it. Like, speaking of family dynamics and escapism, the conversation between Danielle and Melissa to me was really interesting, where they're talking about the different relationships that they have or had with their dads. I mean, Melissa still has a relationship with her father. Even though he is no longer here, she obviously has a relationship with him in how she views him, in the love she continues to have with him, in the loss she feels that he is no longer on this earth with her. I think, you know, there's something really powerful in the ways that they were trying to communicate with each other. And with Danielle, I understand her feeling of upset. I understand her trying to figure out how much regret she might carry with her if, God forbid, something happens where she, you know, might not be able to talk to her dad again. It's so hard to kind of figure out those dynamics. And I thought that there was just something kind of clear-eyed about the show including that. Even though we don't have a lot of information on all things Danielle, it feels like there are a lot of missing pieces. But I'm glad she's on the show. Don't get me wrong. I really, honestly, as every episode goes on, really appreciate Danielle and Rachel. I think they were necessary fresh energies on the show. And I love, love, love that they're friends. It makes me so happy that they have each other. There's just something about the chemistry that they have with each other, the bond they have with each other, the fact that they're of the same generation when it comes to joining the cast that just, like, frankly makes me feel good. But there are other elements here, like watching Marge, you know, with, who was it, Melissa and Messy Fessy, which is funny to me, you know, have their little brunch moment and talk about who hates who enough. It's, you know, it's not about conflict resolution there. Obviously, a lot of this season is not about conflict resolution. It's just about maybe repeating, putting, you know, the wash in for an extra cycle, repeating and repeating some of this. But there are also elements that to me are interesting. And I don't know why. There was so much that happened this episode. So I feel like I'm not giving enough credit to it, which is why I am really fortunate that I'm going to have one of my favorite voices back on the pod to unpack New Jersey. But there was just one little moment at the tail end of the episode. So obviously there's this like huge throwdown between Rachel and Teresa, preceded by Danielle asking Jen Aiden and Tree if she was a pawn, if she was used, which is like a fun thing to say out loud, knowing that you're not going to get an answer. And there were actually two moments that I thought were, that gave me a little bit of an LOL laugh. One is when Teresa's bringing up John Fuda's ex-wife, which I don't know why you would bring up his ex-wife if you're being accused by Rachel of conspiring with his ex-wife. So like, why reference that person of all the people too? But, you know, so Teresa's referencing John Fuda's ex-wife as being the person who's coming out with all of this information about John. And Rachel says something along the lines of, you know, you shouldn't talk about exes. And if you're going to, I'm going to bring up Louis. And there's this moment where Danielle and Jen sort of like stir their straws, like take a drink out of their glasses in unison. And then after that, Jen Aiden goes, oh, that's not necessary. Where I just the way Jen Aiden delivers a line, I know that she's a polarizing figure. I genuinely am glad that Jen Aiden has been on New Jersey. I think she's given us some interesting moments. I genuinely support almost nothing that she does. So this is not like I'm siding with her in any way. I don't know that we really have ever agreed on anything in my mind, but there is just something about her energy at points that I do find hilarious. And the way she was just like almost solemnly, quietly, oh, that wasn't necessary, genuinely made me laugh. But the other part of that sort of interaction. Oh, yeah. Also, and aside from the fact that Teresa is carrying what looked like a school diorama of thank you gifts, I wasn't expecting the cardboard bottom. I'm like, are you bringing a part of the table with you when you leave? Why is there a connection here? Is it supposed to be a diamond house? Like, why are there all these different bottoms? Are they glued to the paper underneath? Like, help me make sense of that. But when, after Teresa, I think it was after Teresa left, Jackie said something maybe under her breath or just really quickly after Melissa essentially was like, do not pretend you weren't mad at Teresa. And Jackie obviously reacts with a lot of immediate upset and says something along the lines of, nothing's going to get me mad at her. Nothing's going to get me mad again at her. And I thought to myself, what an interesting line. Like, I'm not saying it was like scripted, planned at all. I'm saying sort of the opposite. There was just something almost guttural about the way that she said it. And when we think about these relationships now, because it feels like we know too much about how close Jackie and Teresa and Jen would like us to believe that they are, and they very well might be, I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads, juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it. So there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Ro, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Ro-affiliated healthcare provider. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important and so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold. To know that in the same episode, Teresa is talking about following her again on Instagram, which is a little bit of a, you know, vow renewal. This is the Ramona Mario 18th or 19th anniversary moment of I'm going to follow you again on Instagram. I'm recommitting my vows. So she's saying I do. She's saying together we're wed. L'chaim, by the way, mazel tov. But it's just so funny to me that in the same episode where like Teresa's move forward is to say, I'm going to follow this person again on Instagram and like a couple of their pics. And Jackie's perspective is like a fucking blood oath of nothing's going to get me mad at her again. I don't totally get it. It does feel like Teresa's taking some baby steps because she's hearing things she likes. She wants to hear that Jackie and Marge have tension. If Marge and Jackie were getting along, Marge would obviously want the same thing to hear from Jackie about, you know, possible friction with her and Teresa. So it's not Teresa specific in that way. It is sort of specific to whomever Jackie's friends with who hates someone that she's perhaps not. But there was just something about the timing of that, of Jackie being like, nothing she will do. Literally, she can hit me with a car outside and I would be like, thank you so much for that, you know, in-depth Swedish massage. Like, thank you for that deep tissue moment. I'm so appreciative. Have a great day. I don't know why she would feel that so quickly. Like, to not... in any way, maybe it's she didn't want Melissa to speak for her feelings, but that's different from being like, I was never upset about Teresa. I don't know if she's doing this thing of avoiding the conversation because she doesn't want to shift back into talking about Evan. Is that why? That she felt like, don't use rumors about my husband or our marriage. Don't use that. I don't want it discussed. But I feel like she would have said something along those lines if that was the case. It felt so specific to her closeness with Teresa, and that's that on that. I mean, if she wants to move forward into the sunset with Teresa, Judice, like, more power to you. But the upset about other people acknowledging it, I mean, I guess she feels like, don't manipulate me into this. Don't use me as a vessel to seek revenge, maybe, is what she was trying to communicate, or what she did communicate to Melissa. But I just saw, like, you're mad at this person for something you believe that you're doing while the people you're now friends with are doing that exact same thing to you. So nobody's hands are clean. I don't understand why she's washing Teresa's so aggressively. That's the thing I don't get. Like, I genuinely want to understand it. Obviously, she and Teresa are in a better place, which, you know, as the judge and jury of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, I have, to be honest, no problem with it because I want to see different, interesting new dynamics. It is annoying when it feels entirely manufactured because we're a smarter audience than that, unless, you know, we're all making LOLs on the internet and the new meme culture is just being like, this is bad. This is bad TV. So let's laugh. But with Jackie, it feels like it's not there, either there or there. There's something else that has to be going on. Or am I just trying to make a situation that feels overly simplistic more complicated? Like, is that me trying to create more nuance so that I can understand it than actually exists? Is it possible Jackie just woke up one day and was like, I'm tired of this. I don't want this to be hard. I want it to be easy. And it feels like being friends with Teresa feels easy, the kind of friendship that Jackie would have with her. I think if you asked Jen Aiden that question, you would get a different answer. Because I think the cost of friendship between for Jen with Teresa, the cost of that is higher than it would be for Jackie. So maybe that's why she's happy, because she can be seemingly just like happy friends with Teresa and there's not a lot of expected of her. It's just interesting that her friend of Omerta is I will be with this. This is my blood oath. I will be with this person forever. And we're in such early days in this season. How can this not be a reaction to Marge? But also it feels too early for that because we've only seen a couple arguments with Marge. We haven't seen them like blow the gasket. Unless I'm missing something. I remember the fight in the baseball dressing room. Thank you very much. But I don't remember anything else that felt overly crazy. We know by how they're talking about each other on social right now that things are really tough. Jackie confirmed and reiterated in an interview with reality TV with Friends of the Pod, Danny and Evan, that a lot of the tension came about because Marge wanted to leave the show or wanted to threaten to leave the show, asked Jen Fessler and Jackie to walk with her if she left because she did not want Louie to remain on the show or she didn't want to film with Louie or film with Teresa and Louie. And Jen Fessler said she would leave with her if it came to that point, and Jackie said she would not. So is that where this all started? Because that actually feels incomplete to me as well. Because we're talking about all of this, and I understand why Jackie would express that as being the only reason, but, and not to circle back on this yet again, there's this whole other dynamic of, can we acknowledge what took place behind the scenes? There's no way that this season of New Jersey could ever feel complete because too much has happened that feels so, so below the base level, something scheming within the cast. Like Tamara Judge, honestly, would not do this. Tamara Judge is going to be nasty. She's going to call you a piece of shit. She's going to befriend your ex's possibly almost fiance if she's mad at you. She's going to do craven things to maybe manipulate you because she thinks it's good TV and she's very often, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes right. But the stuff that's happened on NJ, it's just so below the norms of housewifery. Just the level of stuff, the fact that, again, nobody's hands are clean, but some of them are especially dirty. We don't want that much pressure or that much focus on what people will do to get back at their enemy and or, you know, retain their title or feel like the winner in all of this and possibly come out ahead. There's so much queasiness, I think, that a lot of viewers feel. Not everybody, obviously. I don't speak in absolutes unless I'm talking about how much I love Shan. But there's just so much that has happened that's been discussed recently that's still ongoing on social, online. And I would assume the network doesn't want us to think about that. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why the reunion is not being held. I mean, how could they ask a single question from an audience member? It's going to be like, Jen Aiden, what's your favorite color? Also, thanks for those screeners that you sent to me for 8 weeks. It wouldn't go great to find out or to understand what it is that the audience wants to hear. It's just kind of unfortunate because not only do we know the end of the story when we're still in the beginning, this is episode 5, but also so much of the story is what these people will do to stay on the show and maybe get someone else to leave. And that's not really escapism. It's kind of like, I want to escape from this. That's the opposite of what we want. We want some form of TV, you know, fancy lives, fast cars, crazy, weird, interesting marriages, family, yada, yada, maybe some work stuff now again, interactions with friends that take us out of our lives and sometimes connect us to the lives that we're watching on TV. It's incredibly situational dependent. It's dependent on who we are, what we're projecting into what we're watching, all of that and more. But the escapism that I think some of us feel at this point, maybe because of the reunion stuff, maybe just because of months and months and how last season's reunion ended, which was the bleakest ending to a reunion that I can remember in recent Housewives modern history, where you just kind of feel like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. I want to escape this stuff. So how do you connect with these episodes? How do you rid that taste from your mouth of like, wait, if I like these moments, why can't we have more of them? Oh, right, because of all of that other stuff that didn't get resolved, that hasn't been resolved for reasons that are just, to me, really fucking dark. Because either nobody wants to know the answer or they have the answer and they're still collaborating on some of this stuff. No one looks good at the end of the day. It's just a matter of who looks worse. But it does to me, it's at least for me personally impacting some of the experience. But again, it's not like I'm like watching these episodes being like, oh, this fucking sucks. I don't feel that way. I just kind of feel a little sad about it. But there's still stuff that I'm pulling out here that's interesting. Like Rachel really, the Rachel energy, the Rachel Fuda dynamic is fascinating. I mean, even when Teresa leaves, especially when Teresa leaves, and Dolores says to Rachel, okay, just so you know, Teresa needs like 10 to 15 extra minutes to cook. But when she remembers, or maybe when she actually figures out what just happened here, when she puts the building blocks together and realizes, oh my God, Rachel maybe embarrassed me, or she said things that I couldn't necessarily immediately respond to, but you know, a fortnight later, here I am. She's going to murder you. And for Dolores to say that so matter of fact of like, babe, sleep with one eye open, you know, this is going to be very bad, was funny. Jen Aiden being like, she's not a great communicator. Yeah, duh. No fucking duh. That's fun. Those are the perfect ingredients when, you know, Teresa's number one friend on the show, and she wasn't saying in a way that was disrespectful. It was just so funny because it was like the kindest way to say it. Like, she's not going to respond back to you. She might just start screaming, but she's gonna think of something. You know, Teresa and her speechwriters are going to put something together, might use napalm in it, in the wording. Don't ask her to spell it. She doesn't know. But she'll have a response to you. I'm sure Louie's interns, you know, were crafting a script halfway through her retelling the moments. And we'll see more of that, obviously, next week in what's shown. But fuck, I mean, there are these little moments that make me laugh. Also, the Melissa Jen Aiden lunch, I don't know what to think of that. Is that one of those lunches where they both know they're going to start with some level of animosity, and they also understand they cannot continue to hate each other because all of the other slots are taken? It's like musical chairs, and they're both of them are left, and there are two chairs, and they really, truly just need to stay seated because we can't even afford to take the last chair away. We're like, it's a tie, you guys. So let's talk through the reasons that you genuinely dislike each other. But then we need to have there be a moment. Like, is there a cutoff? Like 10 minutes in, by the, you know, you start with the hummus and the pita, but by the time you give your entree order, we need to see some sort of friendship circle take place. We gotta make that shape happen. I would rather watch Jen Aiden and Melissa be friends than not. In whatever way they can, it is funny to me that Jen is talking about, you know, wanting to have this friendship with Melissa when Jen and Teresa are so seemingly so close on the show and in many ways IRL, to kind of say you want to like bridge the gap with Melissa because you don't want there to be bad vibes. That to me, it's fascinating. I almost kind of love it now that I'm saying it out loud, because it's so impossible to exist in anything else other than this very dynamic. And would that conversation be taken? Would it have ended in the way that it did if Teresa and Marge were okay, or at least not as bad? Would it have ended it in the way that it did if maybe Melissa and Jen felt like they had a choice in the matter? I don't know. It felt a little bit like, let's find ways to have empathy for this person standing across us. Of like, oh, I get it. You don't want us to ignore you. We are supposed to like you as much as your husband. I never considered that until this very day. Now that I understand that you want to be treated nicely, which is a huge aha moment that Jen Aiden doesn't want to be treated like shit, Now I feel like we can be friends again. Some of this is funny. I don't know if it's inadvertent or what, but I'm into it. Like I really genuine, I don't know why. I feel like the pressure that I'm putting on myself this season of New Jersey is to having to convince myself and everyone else that like I don't hate this season, because I don't. It's making me feel weird right now because of the reunion stuff and because obviously there's so many disconnections. But if I didn't have this podcast, would I still be watching the show? Well, I mean, I would still be watching it regardless, but yeah, I would. There's enough of the light to attempt to sustain me or make me feel overly optimistic that I'm going to get more of it, I guess, for the 300 episodes we have left before we get to the re-finale, the reality, whatever celeb, Bennifer, may their memory be a blessing, title we want to assign to this. I was okay with it. You can't grade it. There's no grading on a curve in Franklin Lakes. I don't think I'll ever understand for the rest of my life. Here's what I want. Here's my number one wish. This is my early Hanukkah gift that someone needs to get me from Bravo HQ, LOL, is just a little bit of an understanding, an inside peek. And I actually think we could get it. Like, I think the Hollywood Reporter, Variety are putting out so many great featurettes post-season where they're talking to EPs, they're talking to people in the cast. I wish for that for us when it comes to New Jersey. Maybe, noting the fact that the reunion was already canceled, maybe we'll get that like tomorrow, a recap of the season in its entirety. That's totally possible. I just want to know, between us chickens, meaning us and like the greater worlds, and we're worldwide. I just want, bitch, you're worldwide. I mean, hello. I just want to know what production thought was going to happen and if they considered genuinely cutting anyone from the cast. And if they didn't, why not? Was this just sort of inevitable that this could happen? Because it's not about removing one person, even though, couldn't you? I mean, if you wanted to make a big swing, couldn't you remove Teresa or Marge? I feel like those are the two, you know, warring camps, right? Like, why didn't they do that? I'm not saying that either of them should have been fired. I'm just wondering why production made the decision to keep everyone, noting that this was a shitstorm that was going to take place. Like, we're saying we can't have the reunion because none of these women want to make up with each other. Well, arguably, you couldn't have had the premiere, right? Because we knew, they told us this. We've known this since the reunion P3. And spoiler alert, we knew that well before. I would love to know the thinking behind it. Maybe it was because, you know, the show is so fractured, but we couldn't take it in a new direction without making a huge, huge call. And they weren't in the position to do that maybe at that point in time, because that requires a big rest. That's like a huge reset going through casting. So what's going to happen to New Jersey next? Like, are we thinking about that in the same way post-reunion announcement that we would have before? Are we on the same page here that New York is a real possibility? The New York reboot happening in Franklin Lakes is a real possibility. I wouldn't have thought that was the case until now. I really wouldn't have taken it super seriously. I didn't think that New Jersey was at the point where they needed to do a full reset. And I think if you asked me, and you probably did by listening to maybe AG episodes from last season, my guess is I probably talked about this, and maybe I'm remembering my feelings differently, but I have a pretty good feeling, and I could 100% be wrong, but I have a pretty good feeling that I wouldn't have wanted that to happen. Maybe I would have been arguing for certain people to be off the show. I certainly mentioned it all about my frustration and confusion and concern about Louis being on this show and what allegedly happened behind the scenes during production and following, that wasn't great. But I don't think I was ever like, you know, flip the script, everybody's out. And I don't know how you keep anybody after this season. I really like Rachel. I really like Danielle. Obviously, I love Dolo. I really like Melissa. I really like Jen Aiden's impressions. Like, I enjoy Marge, but I understand that Teresa and Marge are super polarizing. I don't know how you move forward unless you entirely reset. Like, obviously, surely the producers aren't New York didn't wake up one day and say, okay, our first conversation is going to be just nodding when someone says, should we fire the entire cast and reset? That is a huge risk that's going to take place if that is the decision that's decided. I'm kind of in denial that we might be at that point with New Jersey. I really genuinely never considered that a realistic possibility. I really didn't. And now I'm like, well, shit, man, I don't know. I could see it being some sort of like big fucking move. And I don't know that it could just be two people. I'm not ready to say goodbye to Dolores Catania. I'm really not. The way that she looked Rachel in the eye and was like, babe, like, make sure, you know, someone has an extra copy of the will. Like, she's going to fuck you up, babe. Like, it's just going to take her a little bit more time to cook. Just the sincerity, because that is true. Like, Teresa does need a couple extra days. Teresa's me when I say I'm leaving the house going to an event and I just get out of the shower and someone's like, are you here yet? And I'm like, around the corner, and I've still got 3 hours more to go. Like, that is me. Like, you just need a little bit more time to get your shit together. Look at me, Teresa, and bonding over our mutual delay. I don't know. That was genuinely funny to me. I'm sure there are huge moments from the episode that I'm missing, but absolutely welcome to my life when you revert back to, I don't know, childhood memory and another active state of denial.
There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated.
Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call?
If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY.
Can we also please just say, I've never worked in merchandising, although I've had several jobs in retail. Do they still call it basics? I don't think that, I get why Danielle's insulted, but like, I don't know. I feel like basics might be a thing that might still be called like basics. Like you need basics. I get why Danielle was like, basic, I'm extra. The name of my company is Bougie Kids. But yeah, like every child needs a t-shirt, right? Like every child needs a pair of shorts. I thought to myself, does anybody call it necessities? I don't know if that's taking this word too literally as being an insult, because I understand when you talk about it's kids' clothing. I don't know. I don't think basics is a bad thing to call it. It's basic outfits. I don't know if she needs it to be called essentials. I don't know. Or if there's another word to use. I really, truly don't know. I wish, you know what? Oh God, Back to the Future, just a sign from years past. If only we had known Dolores and Frank. Actually, no, I'm so glad we didn't, because I don't think I would ever want Frank to be on my TV screen again. Had we met them when they were going through it at the height of what sounded like an incredibly dark, upsetting period in their relationship before they got divorced. So I'm actually glad that we didn't see that. And we've seen what has happened in the decades since. But I do kind of wish that there was a video of Frank Catania's proposal to Dolores to go to the mall and buy, what was it? A robotic wind-up pig and throw a fucking ring on that and start it off so it's doing like an oink oink as it patters its little robotic body up to the woman you're asking to love you. A pig? Could we not do, I mean, obviously their kids weren't around at this time, so I don't know when the love of dogs came into play here, if that was like a lifelong thing, but like, could we not have gotten a robot, a little wind up dog? We had to do a pig. I mean, pigs are my number one favorite animal. Number one favorite animal. For my birthday a couple years ago, I got to meet a pig. I'd never touched a pig before, but I went to meet a pig, Penny the Pig, who lives with her fireman father in, I think, Park Slope. I went to Park Slope to play with a pig, and I cried, and it was a wonderful time. One of my life goals is to pet a pot-bellied pig. I think I would genuinely burst into tears. Every now and then, I look up pig rescues outside of New York City. No joke. I really, truly, truly, truly love pigs. So this is not me shit talking pigs, because I am an ardent admirer and supporter of the pig community. It can actually explain, frankly, a lot of the guys that I've dated. I just wonder the pig. I mean, Dolores said it's because he was fucking lazy and he wasn't thinking about anything romantic. He was just like, frankly, that'll do, pig. That'll do. That's we had a babe moment here where Frank was like, okay, I have $3. I need to buy some fucking thing at the mall to tell this lady I love her or whatever, and then get married and have a couple kids. Actually, speaking of scenes with kids, the conversation with Frankie Jr. and Dolores's daughter, is her daughter's name Gabrielle or Gabriella? I don't know that I've ever remembered that. The like lovely veterinarian daughter who we have seen for many years. And I don't think I have ever correctly said her name or thought of her name, but just like lovely veterinarian daughter. Their family dynamic with them, like living at Dolores's house while she's in the townhouse with Polly, fucking loved it. Those kids are so goddamn mature. Frankie Jr., whatever, he is like 25 going on 46. There's just something up. He is an old soul. They both are. The way that they carry themselves, they just seem so responsible and so mellow. Like Dolores did such a good fucking job. I feel like housewives aren't given that credit because honestly, a lot of them don't last to the point where we see their kids grow up. In the worst case scenario, we hear about the kids that we saw when they were little growing up in ways that aren't great if it meets the news or something. So to see Dolores, you know, we met her later on. Her kids were older when she joined the show. Still noting that, to see the fact that these kids just seem, to me, they just scream responsible adults. And it warms my heart. It warms my cold, cold heart to see those kids and just how responsible they are. Like they're, you know, happy living home. Oh, you know, you need to move closer to the city or whatever for work. There's just something about them where I'm like, can I just go to one of those family dinners instead of maybe the New Jersey panel if it's broken up again? But I guess they couldn't even do two panels. They would have to do six. Like every cast member would need their own individual panel, God forbid, happening like concurrently. And then there's just a breakout fight of who needs to avoid which more. And they're all hosted, by the way, by Michael Rappaport, who did a bad job hosting the panels at BravoCon. Frankly, to be honest, I don't know how much of that was his fault, even though he's a mess, because it just everybody hated each other. Again, this isn't breaking news, but it was such chaotic energy coming out of that stage, which I think I guess was the point. But if it was just every member of the New Jersey cast, maybe in different breakout rooms, and then just Michael running back and forth to ask someone a question, answer it himself, and then run next door, do the same thing, ask himself a question this time, and then go to somebody else. I would love that. So when BravoCon happens next year, like who would the New Jersey cast be on that stage? I guess it depends on if anybody has a job anymore, but I don't know if there's like an early retirement panel of people who are literally in their 30s, 40s plus, who are no longer on the show, but we grew up watching them. They are the people who created the universe of New Jersey. Some of them, one of them from the very first year. I would need to see that. I don't know that, you know, New York's in a different position, although we saw them represented by Girls Trip previously while New York was on pause and then got reset. I would love to have some of these people on stage at BravoCon next year, regardless of they're still on their show. But maybe they would have to do a little bit of a mix. Maybe it's a little bit of a, you know, Dorinda medley of like, you're going to go in this group and that group and this one. I'm thinking way too far in the future. What I'm trying to communicate is that I'm very bad at letting go. I don't like change. I don't like big change. I would rather a smaller swing. I might be emotional and take a big swing about individual people, but when it comes to super, super resetting, I just need a little bit of time. Much like Teresa, I just need a little extra fucking time to cook. If that's the little takeaway, you know, some of us speak, you know, in a guttural manner, which I also do on occasion, technically every day of my life. But also in addition to that, I just need a little bit of time. You just got to baby step, changes for me. I will push back when you say like this is an entirely new situation. I was like that with technology too. I mean, I have, you know, obviously I've only been experimenting. I was born into TikTok because I'm quite young. But like, let's say other forms of social media perhaps being introduced or forms of communication like a digital camera and whatnot. When I was a wee wee bebe, I did not handle those changes well. Wait, I think I'm thinking of digital camera when I mean like a form of a computer or something. I don't remember because I'm so behind on all of it. I like don't pay attention to anything, but I do know that when you give me the option of learning something new, I'm going to say hard pass when it comes to like big environmental changes. I will hold on to whatever it is that I've got and try to make it work. And maybe there's a part of me that's trying to figure that out with Franklin Lakes of like, I get it. Like we may need to do a whole new reset and I'm still really fucking pissed about the reunion and production and the decision of how this show is like maybe working out right now. But also, is there a way we can make some of this work? Maybe not. Maybe that's just going to add too much additional frustration and delay the inevitable, which is like this, the cast obviously needs a reset. Like this is wild that this is happening. Am I only the only person that thinks it's genuinely wild that the show continued with the same cast? It's a little nuts. It's not, I don't know how this is going to work as the season goes on. I hope that for the sake of Jackie and Melissa and basic like cognitive reasoning, that little moment between them at the brunch isn't the reason that they fell out. Because if the reason that they fell out is because Melissa was like, you used to hate her because of Evan, and Jackie's like, how dare you, you know, go back in time, which is the whole point of Housewives to a certain extent. And also it was on TV and like remind me of things that I know are true. I just want to be friends with her. Nothing she could ever say to or do to me will change my mind. And as a result of that, I'm going to deny the reality of what I was saying so ardently before. How's that going to work out? I mean, not great, right? I don't know. The Jackie of it all, I don't know. At first, I thought this was like wild that she and strange and manufactured that she was so close to Teresa and Jen. And then I thought, you know, normally change your mind based on new information. I'm kind of like ducking as I go through the, if you could see me now, this is why thank God there's no video of me just kind of gesticulating with my hands in my childhood bedroom. Like someone's coming out and I'm like trying to protect myself before they pounce. Like I'm in the jungles of East Greenwich, Rhode Island talking about this episode. I don't know. I'm kind of like, okay, it seemed really super manufactured, eye roll. Then I'm like, okay, I get it. I get parts of it. And maybe you feel like, you know, the kinds of conversations that you were having with these other people were too complicated, or you felt on defense and all this stuff with the book was pissing you the fuck off. So that brought you closer to them. But just to go from 0 to 100, I don't totally get it. But I guess we'll watch what happens. I guess we'll see for the rest of the season. I'm curious from like viewers, from AGs, how you're currently feeling about the episodes, how the reunion announcement has potentially shifted your opinion, and if you're also just like totally out, or maybe you're in. Maybe this is one of those feelings of like, okay, I know that the show is going to change after this season, so I'm trying to appreciate this as much as I possibly can. I think people have a spectrum of opinions, although I do feel like the consistent thread is annoyance, which I'm right, you know, I'm raising my hand. I'm right there with you, definitely as well. I really do want to do a Satchel Spectacular. I know I've quite literally recorded 4 of them in the last week, but I genuinely want to do a Satchel of Gold Spectacular, your Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives, Bravo, TV, yada, yada, and more, named in honor of Her Holiness, Kelly Cloran, Ben Simone. I'm curious for your thoughts on New Jersey, your thoughts on the reunion cancellation announcement, anything that you have regarding Franklin Lakes. Of course, I would love your takes on The Valley, VPR, Lala's latest stuff, Oy Vey, shenanigans, and what Summer House, obviously. Oh my God, let us all say amen to the fact that the reunion starts this week. I'm one of those, you know how when you like greet a dog at home and it's almost whining, it's so excited, like it's crying out, its tail is wagging so quickly. Oh my God, my owner's here. That's how I feel about the Summer House reunion. I'm so excited that I'm frantic. Like I'm like nervous excited. My tail is wagging very hard back and forth. So I would love love your thoughts about, that makes me think of Jason Alexander from Shallow Hal. Spoiler alert, I guess, by the way. I am curious for your thoughts, certainly on New Jersey, but obviously the other shows that we're talking about. It's so wild that I have certainly communicated on the pod, but also just thought in my head, like, man, I'm just not giving New Jersey any attention. And then the last three or four episodes of AG have been New Jersey focused. So you know what? When it rains, it pours. So there we are. Send me your satchels of gold over DM, please, please, please. Even if you've communicated it many times before, include your first name and town. And they may be featured on an upcoming Patreon episode. Patreon, the number one way to support the pod. You get those exclusive Patreon eps at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Follow me on Instagram and allegedly threads at Dame Galley. And listen, happy New Jersey week. Is there a New Jersey pride situation happening? Speaking of pride, happy fucking pride. The calendar is upon us. Want to shout out any LGBTQIA plus listeners, AGs. You are always welcome here. And obviously, a huge part of the Bravo community is Bravo's queer audience. And I am so happy to say happy pride. And can't believe I, day three, how dare I have not mentioned it on the episode that I recorded. Oh, you know what? But I think it was technically May at that point. Regardless, happy pride. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.